What's going on?
Not much, man. How's it going?
It's good.
Oh, this audio sounds so much better. Man.
Sounds good. I'm happy with it.
How's it going, man?
It's all right, brother. I'm acclimating to the day. I'm on my second cup of coffee already.
For sure, I'm on my second cup of coffee.
So I'm doing all right. I'm ready to make the most of the day. I had to work yesterday, so this is my weekend Sunday. So I'm hoping to make the best use of it that I can.
Very good, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, folks, welcome to the Dead Man's Coffee Club. My name's Tyler Fleming. This is my good friend Anthony Fisher, and
what's going on?
Hope you're all doing well. We're gonna get this thing going here in a second. It looks like it's 5:49 Eastern Standard Time. What's on your mind today?
Oh man, I think it's something that's kind of been on my mind for a little while now, and I've just recently been kind of gifted with the language and the ability to talk about it, because I mean, you know, my story leading up to coming back to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And you know, things back home where my wife and I were living just wasn't really cutting it.
Yeah.
And you know, we felt like we needed a change. We felt like we needed to come back to the city because there would have been more opportunity for our daughter. You know, we had relationships here that were more involved. Not to say that we didn't have relationships back home, but that the ones that we have here are certainly, you know, relationships that like we didn't want to detach ourselves from and felt like we had to do so kind of prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of work, we also felt like I'd have more opportunity here than I would back home, because back home was such a blue collar place, and you know, unless you bumped elbows with, you know, Albany's finest, then you really didn't have a shot at much else. So,
yeah.
You know, we took the leap. Job opened up. A position at a school opened up for my daughter. Or a spot at a school opened up for my daughter. And now we're back. But it has still come with its share of, like, growing pains and hardships. And, you know, it had me thinking a lot, because you know, here I am in the mindset that this is just a brand spanking new season where, you know, everything is just gonna go my way and everything is looking up from here, and then you experience hardship, and then you have to drive an hour and a half sometimes to work and back every day. And then you only see your child for 45 minutes a day. And then you only see your wife for an hour and 45 minutes a day. And then, you know, you bartend on the weekend so that you can make more money, so that you can, you know, move out of your mom-in-law's place. You know, and it's just this, you know, it's one thing after another that kind of contributes to a different narrative where it's like, well, maybe this isn't like a brand spanking new chapter. Like, maybe there's still hardship. And I was sitting talking with another good friend of mine, this gentleman named Micah, and hopefully we can bring him on the show one of these days.
I was just thinking that.
One of these days, I think that this podcast would explode. Not because of viewership, but because our minds would literally explode. But he and I had a a talk a few Sundays back. It was he and I in the backyard, and his sons, you know, running around, you know, being a 3-year-old. And we're just talking about everything under the sun. You know, we're talking about religion. We're talking about and seasons and the conversation ended up going, you know, the simplicity of what life is about. And seasons are involved. I've always been a proponent for, you know, speaking on seasons, and I think that my family is on the brink of a new season. But what seasons are to the overarching narrative is just a matter of conditions. Life itself, if you want to boil it down, is all about planting and nurturing a seed into a sapling and seeing that sapling grow and widen and, you know, have a hardened bark and shoot up into the sky and eventually, you know, sprout branches that provide shade. And from that, you know, beautiful, you know, those beautiful branches, you see leaves, and those leaves sprout out. But not only that, eventually, after nurturing and caring for that tree for so long, you'll see fruit. And I think one thing that we are so good at in Western culture is wanting to skip everything that I just talked about so that we can get to the fruit.
Yeah.
So we'll skip everything from planting the seed, you know, so we'll plant the seed, screw watering, screw nurturing the sapling, screw seeing that thing grow thick and wide and tall and sprout branches and leaves, and then bear fruit because we have been good stewards over that tree. Let's just go from planting that seed to that fruit. Or, if we're being real, let's think about the fruit before we even plant that seed. Because that's the way that a lot of us operate. We operate in this mindset that, you know, it's all about what we want. It's all about, you know, what we're trying to get out of life. And so we orchestrate everything from the planting of the seed to the nurturing of the tree with a desired fruit in mind, instead of finding joy and being present in separating the dirt so that you can put that seed in and then covering it up, but not doing so with a firm hand, and then watering the seed and being patient and present while that thing slowly and carefully breaks the ground that you recovered, and then watching it grow and being present while it develops. And then, you know, over time, being able to see it mature and then develop fruit. So for me, I think this whole thing, being present in the process versus having such a deep desire for a particular fruit, that we involve ourselves more in growing that fruit than growing the tree itself.
For sure. I think that's a really nice, let's see, metaphor, I think.
It works.
to think about the fruit as like the end goal that you have for yourself or whatever. And, you know, it could be anything, right? That that goal could be as relates to work or like where you live or your like your physical body or what, how much money you're gonna make, like some number or whatever.
That's right.
And the thing that is easy to do is to get caught up with that thing, right? Like, yeah. I'm going to do whatever. Like, I'm to get caught up with the shiny object at the end of the road, and forget that the benefit of the thing comes from the journey there, right. And that there's actually no there. There's just there's just progress, I guess, which sometimes doesn't even look like progress, but it, I think that's a very good place to start. And I'm going to think of this one phrase that I always mess up while you continue the conversation. We'll circle back.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you know, not only is presence necessary, but I think that pain and suffering are also necessary. I think that, you know, when you hear the word pain or suffering, like it triggers a lot of people for multiple reasons, because those words have such a negative connotation and tone to them. So, you know, when anything grows, it's uncomfortable. You know, there is a particular level of pain, and there's certainly some suffering that comes with that. But when you look at suffering, I think that it's more important to look at that as a work or set of works that are intended to perfect, versus things that are put in our way to make us miserable.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, not only is our presence necessary, because, you know, we can go through our entire lives without, you know, looking at everything around us or appreciating the beauty that we actually have present in our day-to-day lives, because we're in such hot pursuit of this other beauty that comes at the end of the road, or at the end of growing this sapling into a tree and then seeing its fruit. But we get so fixated on that, that we neglect so much else. And we neglect families, we neglect our bodies, we neglect the beauty of those moments or lessons that are being shared. And certainly the case when we are undergoing that refining process or that growth process, where it actually kind of hurts a little bit,
yeah,
or it's uncomfortable. Like, we're like, let's get the fuck out of here. This does not feel good. I do not like this. I need the next brick in the road. You know, let's go. But truthfully, to me, now, that's the best place to be.
Yeah.
Because that is where, and you and I have talked about this before, and to, you know, kind of harp on, you know, on certain language that you've expressed, you know, like, what an opportunity, like, for us to not only be present, but to be present in our suffering, to be present in our perfecting, to be present in being refined and being sharpened, and to know exactly what's happening. And I think most of life, if I'm being honest, most of life happens there.
Right.
It doesn't happen in the fruit.
In the shiny thing.
The fruit is just the fruit. But everything else happens in the growth.
Yeah.
It happens in the pain. It happens in the suffering. It happens in the development. And we can either, you know, try to bypass that. And that's going to take for fucking ever. Because in my mind, the only way is through.
Yeah. I mean, so go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, my thing is like, so if you don't go through, right, if you bypass the suffering, if you bypass the, I'm trying to avoid using the P word, if you bypass the process, if you bypass the difficult aspects of it, you get a cheapened
that's good
results. Yeah, and good. The only way to bypass it is if somehow miraculously something is given to you, right, that allows you, whether it's financial or otherwise, but my thought is that when those things happen, that they maybe cheapen the result, right? Like the,
yeah.
And it's not going to mean as much, and there's not going to be as much gratitude for it, and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas when you come to the place where you realize, you know what, it's the suffering thing, it happens, it's part of the deal, and we can either like always wish that it would become, if we could just like get the thing we're going for like today and not tomorrow, or not a year and a half or 2 years or 10 years down the road. We want to get it today. We miss so many moments. We miss, so many opportunities to be thankful for what's like right there with you, you know? And, so the thing I was thinking was transcend and include. And so, it's the idea is behind like these, like the Russian nesting dolls, the little dolls that, you know, it's a little one and it's a little bigger and then a little bigger and then a little bigger and it just keeps going, right? And I think the tree analogy is really good because it comes as a seed, right? But if it stayed a seed forever, you know, you can eat it and it has lots of energy in it, but like, you know, it's not going to have fruit if it's just a seed.
Yeah.
But then with the right circumstances, right, and proper care and all that stuff in it, even if there's a drought or there's a storm or whatever, like a tree can weather that and grow into something much bigger and stronger and more resilient than just a seed, right? If you just have a seed on top of soil and then there's a tornado, it's going to be gone and there's not going to be a tree. I mean, it'll be a tree someplace else, but not in that spot. But if there's a tornado and like you have a tree that is strong and flexible or whatever the thing is, that just becomes part of that tree's story, right? And like there's the house I grew up in, there's a tree that was bent across the street, and so the story went, there was a there's a tornado that came down the street that like bent the tree, but the tree was still there, big and strong and all that sort of thing. And so it transcended and included that experience and then was able to evolve into something better.
Yeah. And I think even with that in mind, like, I think that's beautiful. And you brought up the Russian doll thing. And the only thing that kind of crossed my mind was, you know, you can also tell a tree's life when you look at the rings, right? So it's in a sense kind of this like Russian doll effect, but in thinking of that, you know, the one that you mentioned from your childhood, you know, had it not grown to a particular, you know, a particular degree, had it not developed, would it have been able to withstand the storm? And so, you know, I'm taking that in my own life, and carrying that with me, because, you know, work is difficult for me. Not the act of working itself, but my current occupation is difficult, because being in tune with who I am emotionally, being in tune with, you know, my feelings and the feelings of others, and being somewhat empathetic, I deal with a lot of people on a normal day-to-day basis, and sometimes it's difficult separating my emotions from those experiences.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm having every day, multiple times a day, are experiences and encounters with other human beings. And sometimes they really fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you just get to the end of the of your day, and that's not it. It's not over. You've dealt with all of that at work. Now you get to deal with it at home. Or, you know, maybe you're just having, you know, some issues of your own that you're working through, but you still have to clock in, do the work at hand, and clock out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for years, I've been just so fixated on, like, the end of the road. And I think that, you know, I instead of looking at seasons as, you know, just different times of testing and times of growth and times of bearing fruit, I looked at it solely as, you know, you're either in the desert or you're either bearing fruit. There's no in between. And now I'm, you know, I'm realizing that it's okay, and it's all right if winter's a little bit long, or it's okay if spring comes and you have to grow a little bit more before you bear fruit.
Yeah.
It's all right. And instead of rushing that process, because you really can't ever rush that process. I mean, if we're being honest,
you can't.
You know, like there are a few different end results here. You know, I can do one of a few things. I can either embrace this shit, and I can do my job really well, and I can nurture that tree where I am so that the fruit that I produce is better quality, or I can try really, really fucking hard to avoid, you know, this process, but at the end of the day, I'm still gonna get this work.
Mm-hmm.
It might hurt, but I can prolong this hurt. I can make this hurt last longer just by not embracing it and saying, hey, this is necessary.
Because then, instead of it just being like an opportunity to learn and to like get stronger and more resilient or whatever, it just becomes this terrible thing that you just have to wait out. And
yeah,
it doesn't have to be that, right?
No, not at all.
It can be like an opportunity to build make pancakes, y'all. to build skills that maybe you haven't built before. And
yeah, but like,
and then you get to include those in the next evolution.
Exactly. Right. But how many people do you know? And I'm sure you can think of probably a handful. How many people do you know who have grown bitter to the process because they don't want to endure the hardship or the hurt or the difficulty or the stress that produces growth?
Yeah.
Like, that's a real thing. That's something that, like, we as humans naturally don't want to embrace. Like, it's this like fight or flight sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, if we're going to be resilient to storms, if we're going to be resilient to, you know, adversity, we have to experience it. If we're going to bear good fruit, then we've got to grow and perfect and mature and be tended and cared for. And we have to be present for that.
And you still have to tend and take care for the best you can in a drought, in a storm, and when there's disease going all around.
Right. Like you can't just... Right.
Those aren't times where you just say, fuck it.
Like, right.
This sucks. Like, better luck next year. Mm. Like, nope. You gotta give it full effort now.
Yeah.
And next year.
Yeah.
Whether there's perfect weather or not.
Yeah. And another way of looking at it, I thought about, you know, the process of transforming this like chunk of iron ore into a sword. Everybody wants to be the fucking sword. Everybody. But nobody wants to get thrown in a fire and get hammered out, get dunked in water and get hammered out and get sharpened. Like, nobody wants to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. But the older I get and the more that this happens, it becomes, to me, unavoidable. Like, the process is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Now, are you on board or not?
And if you're not, just going to suck even more.
It's just going to suck even more. But the crazy thing about it is, like, there's no way around it. You know, like I said, the only way for me, the only way is through it. You know, by trying to go around it, all that means to me is you're prolonging it. You're still undergoing a process. You're just taking a lot longer to get there. Because you don't want to deal with the pain. You don't want to deal with, you know, what comes. You don't want to deal with the sucky parts of work. You know, you don't want to deal with the long commutes. You don't want to deal with having to, you know, to share quarters with, you know, your family. I don't want to deal with that. But there's no short way around it. And so for me, it's easier to embrace that refining process. It's easier to be present in that process. And not only present with the process itself, but with everything around me. So I can't neglect my wife and my daughter because of the process.
Mm-hmm.
They're a part of it. And I need to be present for them. I need to be here and now. And I need to tend to those relationships with just as much care as I would if I had all the fruit and the freedom that I felt like I was going to have at the end of the road. Because even in those moments, there's so much to be learned. There's so much to be appreciated. And so embracing the necessary suffering is one thing, but also embracing the beauty.
Exactly.
I think is equally as important.
And I think if there's a secret to it, it's to begin to see the beauty in the struggle, in the suffering, in the process of creating whatever the thing is, right? Like, that it's...
Dude, cut it out.
When someone's creating a painting, right? It takes a long time. And there's lots and lots of layers. I was just watching our art teacher make an example for, I think it was fifth graders, And, like, she's throwing down red on it and all these colors. Mind you, at the end of it, it looks yellow to me. But somewhere underneath her, my guy, you need to stop doing that. There's red underneath this picture that she's painting.
Okay.
And, but you, it so it didn't look pretty, you know, going through it. My guy, stop. Stop. Let go. Okay, you can hold it, but stop. When you're working out, you don't always have the prettiest face on. It's not always the nicest process, or looking process. But then as you embrace that process, yes, it's hot. It's literally coming out of the pan. you get this result that comes because you just embraced it and you forgot that the goal was to lose or gain 10 pounds or get a 400 pound whatever number or standard you made for yourself, whatever that was. When you start to see nope, just doing the thing is where the magic is, and then it becomes the suffering becomes a little less suffering like. And
yeah.
And I think that it doesn't make what, and even though it's less suffering like, it doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make the journey any easier. It just means that maybe it feels less like suffering, or you begin to recognize that it's not suffering. Yeah. To the same degree, or I don't know.
No, exactly, no, that's. I think that's excellent. That is the point that I'm coming to, and it's a matter of, like you said, seeing. The beauty in suffering. It's about seeing every part of the process as unique as each piece and each step along the way is as uniquely beautiful, and immersing yourself in it. I think that's where you produce. The best fruit.
Yeah.
Like you said, even with training, right? I can go and I can just, clock in the numbers. I can, I can do all the sets. I can, just kind of tough through it until I get to, that 400 or 500 pound lift. But I'm literally doing all this work for this one moment.
What happens when that moment comes?
What happens, right? Well, then you're longing for something else instead of having this deep-seated appreciation for every single fucking thing you did for that lift. Somehow that lift tastes so much better when you acknowledge everything you've put into it. And you can appreciate it without having this desire for and this lust for something different or for something new. That, I think, is where you really rest from your work, is you get to stand back and you get to look at, in awe of that thing and be like, man, it was all worth it.
Yeah.
Every moment that I did, this or that, and, I paid close attention to this and this. It all was worth it.
Yeah, and I think just to, touch on the training thing for one more second, at least from my perspective, is, one thing I've been exploring lately is it's easy to – I'm so sorry for that noise in the background. Kid, you need to turn that off. It's one thing to be told what to do. And it's important to have people who are more experienced than you to look at what you're doing and that sort of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's one thing for people to tell you what to do. It's another thing for you to be like, okay, this is what the I'm trying to make the experience be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to seek this experience. And so I'm going to take ownership of it as opposed to just like, I'm going to pay somebody whatever amount of money to tell me what to do. Instead of like, no, I'm going to, like if this is important to me, I'm going to give myself the experience of improving my ability to feel this muscle or that muscle or this lift or that lift. And then, right, you become better at that lift or or moving or like in less pain or whatever. And it, and so, and for me, that's like, that's what I'm, the process I'm in right now is relearning about my body and the movements and all that stuff.
That's all.
By, and so it's not like when I go to train, it's not just set reps and sets right now. It's more like, okay, what am I trying to feel here? What, how can I balance this thing out better, et cetera, et cetera. And then what will maybe help with that experience. And sometimes it goes as I planned and sometimes it doesn't. And that's part of the deal. Yeah, but
you're being present and aware.
But then you learn, right? Yeah. Like then you grow from it as opposed to having somebody else to blame for it. Right. Like you, when you take ownership of like, this is my process and I'm going to,
right.
This is where I am right now. And so I'm going to own that. Have a goal and then forget that goal and like just figure out how you can do the little things the best you can in your current situation and appreciate those experiences the best you can in your current situation. And eventually that other thing will happen. But by that time, you'll probably have realized that one, it didn't matter in the first place. And two, that there's like other stuff that you want to do anyway, right? Like there's some greater purpose behind you having a 405-pound deadlift or whatever, right? Maybe it's something to do with your kids. Maybe it's some other thing in life you want to do. But, I don't know if that makes sense. But
I think that ties right in.
What I've been working on for myself lately is like, and I was also thinking about it just yesterday, like, so say someone's in an anatomy class or something like that.
Right, right.
And what if the teacher just posed the question, like, okay, go find your bicep. Well, let's just use the bicep, right? Let's go find your bicep and be like, point to it, right? This is your bicep. Now go find some movements that impact your bicep to learn about it. And then go, right? And then the students go and they like use weights or whatever to explore it. And then they come back. I wonder how much more meaningful of a learning experience they'd have than if someone's like, here's a picture of a bicep. A bicep does this. A bicep does that.
Yeah.
Like, this is what a bicep does. And then no one ever moves anything with their bicep, right? They just look at it.
Yeah.
Or you can like, nope, go use your bicep. Cool. This is how it works. Boom. You know,
yeah,
the experience is a little bit deeper when you go through the process of actually using it, and you build different skills when you actually use them through whatever. I don't know.
And I think that's beautiful, because isn't that what we do in life anyways? Like, you, I mean, I'm bringing it up again. You brought up that tree from your youth. You know, it was resilient enough. And it overcame that adversity. And it still grew. And, you know, there's always something to be learned, something to be added, something that makes us more whole in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the gold is.
Yeah.
Like, we're being made better with every single bit of adversity or suffering or experience that we have to make us more whole, to make us that much more rich,
yep.
In you know, in character or knowledge or wisdom, or love. And I think that, you know, that's absolutely right. Like, you know, you have put it in terms of, you know, the learning experience of, you know, the bicep, you know, learning movements and ways that it's impacted. But, you know, that's just so good, because what you're showing there is like, there's something to be learned. There is something that is going to make you so much better.
Yeah.
Just by being immersed and being involved. And I don't think we should skip or try to skip,
I mean,
learning that thing.
And I think that's like, that's where it is like, you can try to skip the process of it, but when you do that, the result is not going to be what you imagined. It's not going to hold mm-hmm. the weight that you imagined it would. It's not going to mean much, because you didn't have to go through this experience to get it. And, you know, it's never done, right? It's never done. We're never done. And it keeps going, so that there will always be another edge of our ability to look for, and right. The only way to explore is to go there and actually try the thing. So,
yeah.
Oh my god, kid! He has the little thing that froths like milk and stuff.
Nice. Like the wand?
Yes. And he keeps turning it on. But because we're recording, I don't want to take it from him, because then there would just be screaming. That is a part of the process that I don't want to experience at this current moment, because I do not have the tools to manage that and have a live recording that I can't stop people. I'm not that skilled yet. One day I will transcend this level. But
until then,
all my past experiences. But until then, he's going to play with this thing until this recording is done. And then I'm taking it. And changing his diaper. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
No, man. I think that's a good place to kind of rest it. That's a lot to, like, even... No, after having the conversation, it's certainly a lot to still kind of like think on and, you know, just consider. But you know, I think that we have brought it full circle.
Yeah. I mean, and I think even at the beginning of this podcast, right, the process is one of the things we talked about.
Right.
But the way we're talking about it now is different, because we've been through different experiences and experienced different levels of suffering or whatever. And now we can talk about it like having transcended those experiences, and we get to include them. And yeah. Now we're yeah. like,
that's right.
We're, you know, leveling up. Sorry. I'd love Super to Saiyan. Just, oh, I was thinking Sierra, you know, level up.
Oh, God, up. No. Yeah. Not that. Please not that.
Sometimes you got to just throw in the cheesy. But, yeah, that's we couldn't have had this conversation would not have been possible when we first started the podcast, because our experiences, while they were significant, right, we both were already married, both already had kids, and yet we needed the few months since we started this show to now have this version of the conversation, right. Which I'm sure in a year will be
going to evolve again,
a different conversation. One last thing, because are closing in on the end of February, and we set an arbitrary date for ourselves. Do you remember?
We sure did. Oh, we sure did.
So,
March 1st. I'm trying to see what I can do to make this happen.
March 1st, people. We said we were going to have coffee mugs.
It is upon us in like 2 weeks.
Well, as soon as I take this frother from him, maybe I will do a brief Google search and see how much coffee mugs are and all that sort of thing, and see if we can at least make some available for the four people that listen to this episode, this show.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
All right, folks. I believe that is another episode of the Dead Man's Coffee Club.
I think so.
You can find us at the Dead Man's Coffee Club, hashtag the Dead Man's Coffee Club, or DMCC if you want to be super cool like Anthony. You can find my friend Anthony at Anthony Fisher, and I'm at Tyler Clark Fleming. Yeah, that's all. That's all I got. I got to change his kid's diaper. He's a heathen.
Handle business, bro.
All right, folks. Have a beautiful day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.